40 chess. Yeah. 40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Let's get it.
Yo, is that Tito?
40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Hey. Forty chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop harming, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the wall too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 chess. This is 40 chess.
Yeah, so
sitting in this this new fish versus sharks league or whatever, which is great. Yeah, I talked about it a little bit last night on the draft stream where they don't know they're fish, which is my favorite. They don't know we're sharks. But what do you think about this to start? We're through 9 rounds. So I got Jalen Hurts, Deshaun Watson, and Will Levis as my quarterbacks. I got DK, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, pick 3, 6, and 7.
Goodness. You're going to like having pick 6 and 7 because I think if I'm you, I know this is not what you want to do, but with that receiver room, I'm taking my receiver at 3, and I'm getting both quarterbacks that are going to be there at 6 and 7, frankly.
Very well could. Yep.
Because I feel like if you took your quarterback at 3, now if it's Jaden Daniels or something, you're gonna have a hard time passing on that. But
the receiver warp line is not very good. Like okay. The running backs and quarterbacks rule this, but like, I'm still okay. It's still dynasty at the end of the day. So I'm going with this. What we talked about a couple months ago, that fuck them tight ends, fuck them running backs, don't draft any of them in the top 10 round strategy.
Yeah, you don't need to. You're good, baby. You know, we'll
quarterbacks and wide receivers, I'll figure it out later.
Yeah, we'll figure that other position out later. Yeah. Mike, it's going to be interesting to see. This reminds me very much, I don't know if you caught this, this was the last episode in Dynasty Mind Warp. So I'm talking with Scott about this, and it's like playing in leagues with people that play in a lot of different leagues or are more advanced players, I'd say. I don't want to make it seem like some players are so much far and away better, but
no.
When you play against some of these in these type leagues, it reminds me of growing up playing basketball. There was, when you grow up, you're like, all right, you want to go play, you can go play Parks and Rec. Basically, anybody that goes signs up can play on a Parks and Rec team. You get assigned to a team. And right. When you play in those, it's very clear who the good players are, and it's a lot of just get them the ball and get out of the way. So it's a lot of just bad habits being formed. Guys just doing crazy, ridiculous right. stuff as kids because they can. Then all those kids that want to, they can go try out for the All-Star team. So basically they pick the top 12 to 15 kids, and those guys go play, and they travel. It's the travel team, the city team. But Mike, when you go play in that, there's a guy, our coach Stein, he was a screamer. Well, he's an awesome coach, but he had some unbelievable one-liners and screaming stuff. And when you do a really stupid thing that probably was a bad habit formed from playing in Parks and Rec, it was, why? This isn't Parks and Rec. He's literally screaming, this isn't Parks and Rec. And it's like when you play in a lot of those fish-type leagues, the stuff you can do, you get away with some bad habits, right? Where it's like, okay, this move, while it's fun and everybody likes it and your team's going to be off, you can't get away with that in a lot of the regular leagues that you play in with people that are playing in a lot of different leagues. And, Mike, I'll just tell you this, not you, because obviously you play in, what are you playing in, 50 leagues by this point now? 40-some?
Feels
something
like that.
Crazy.
Pretty close.
I can tell a lot, Mike, as someone that really, like, micro-analyzes a lot of the dynamics. I can tell a lot when offers come to me with what type of leagues people are playing in. I'll just leave that at that spot there. So
I get you.
Something to keep in mind on the fish leagues, you know.
That they set this one up with two tight ends, with a decent tight end premium, but the warp is still terrible on them.
So they're going to be reaching for them, right?
15 tight ends off the board in the first 10 rounds.
Y'all can have them.
Yeah, go for
it. Is Noah Fant still there?
Oh, for sure. He'll be there in like round 16, man. I'll be fine.
W.
Yeah. Unless Koopa picks next to me, so. Yeah. Oh, you got Koopa. Next couple rounds.
You went in there with a couple sharks. Okay, this could be interesting.
Couple. All right. It's the annual tradition. A tradition like none other.
A tradition.
The shit.
Unlike any other. The ship predictions.
The ship predictions.
The worst part about the ship predictions, Mike, is that we make people listen to it the day after it's already happened. So it's
well,
like,
I really want them to know how stupid I am. That's the thing.
Like, if they listen to this on Thursday, it's like, all right, that seems crazy. But they know for sure it's crazy when it's already not happened the next day, right?
A little backstory on how it started. When we first did the 4D Chess podcast that first year, right? Like, sometimes you run out of ideas. We're a bunch more novices, new to this, right? So you're like, oh, this is easy. We'll do some draft predictions. You know, that'll fill the show. And it was so horrible. It was so horrible that it stuck. Instead of just being like, let's can this and never do it again, we'll come back the next year to do it again. And then we'll do it again. It was so bad. It was like Sharknado, you know. It was such a terrible movie, you had to make six other sequels on it.
Yeah. I got some good ones for this one, Mike, but it's going to be just like the old ones where we're going to look back and be like, why did I ever say that? I really wish I wouldn't have, you know.
I'll get to some that were burning in my head here. We'll get some predictions out. But the first one I'll go with, which quarterback goes at number two?
Jaden.
Jaden Daniels. That feels like the lock to you?
It does, which means, Mike, to me, there's a lot of smoke screens in this process, you find out all the time. I feel very confident in Jaden Daniels, but, Mike, I didn't at this time. It just started coming around this time. That Baker Mayfield, like when I say this time, a couple days before, might not even have been. We were recording this on Tuesday and the draft's on Thursday. It was about here. We started hearing murmurs of Baker going one. I didn't believe it until it happened. So if it's not Jaden Daniels at two, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, how in the world? I feel like I've seen it enough times to know that it can happen. But it feels like the smoke screens are trying to get people to look away from Jaden Daniels being the two overall pick. The lines have changed drastically. He used to be heavily favored, and now it's very close with him and May.
Yeah, tough. I will go with Jaden Daniels. To your point, too, I see everybody, like, it's become a repetitive thing. Apparently, it's a cool thing to do on Twitter.
Oh, of course.
Anytime there's a draft rumor comes out, you're like, well, remember at this time last year, Will Levis was going to be the number one pick.
Remember when he was supposed to be in the first round and he didn't go at all? Yeah, it happened with Malik Willis. It happens, okay? But guess what? It's not a locked-in thing.
Nobody acknowledged the thing, the murmurs about Baker Mayfield. And I'll give you another one. We weren't really sure about this time in that year that Kyler Murray was going to be the number one pick, right? The Cardinals had Josh Rosen and a new quarterback. You didn't really know what they were going to do. Now, inevitably, they took Kyler Murray and then ship Josh Rosen's ass off.
There was, because of Cliff, there was at least some rumblings, but it was, to your point, it was so unthinkable to go that far against the grain when you just drafted Rosen. That I feel like what's made people think, nah, man, they can't do that. It's just impossible. Well, no, they can. And a lot of times the first time you see something, everybody has this innate shock, huge shock wave. Like how did that happen?
I will tell you, most of the stuff you're going to hear about this time is bullshit. Like, it's just bullshit. But there are some nuggets in there you're like, oh, man, they really were showing their hand. Like, it does happen, too. There's the opposite side of the coin.
I feel like within a lot of this, you'll know, hindsight's 2020, so you'll know what was complete bullshit. But a lot of times, Mike, within that bullshit, there's, you know, a 10%, 20% truth. And a lot of times it's like, it's almost like telephone. The exaggeration in what we are taking of the truth to what everyone's now repeating, wildly different things. It's the old game of telephone.
All right, another question for you with quarterbacks. How many go in the top five?
Four.
Oh, you buying it. JJ McCarthy's up there. Drake May ain't slipping.
I want to be spicy, damn it. I want to see it. I think 3 is 100% locked. I think 4 is what will be exciting. I'm going to go with 4.
4. I'm with you. I'm going 4 as well. 4 in the top 5. If I want to get really spicy, I'd say 4 in the top 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the way down.
I mean, you're starting to see that mock a lot. I think, like, the first 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks. I'll be pretty surprised if Marv actually goes 3 to New England. As an NFL, I know how important the wide receiver position is and how great Marv is. To me, it's different in fantasy than in the real NFL, though. Like, passing up on quarterbacks at 3 when you don't have one is different. I could even get on board, Mike, drafting a receiver in Dynasty because you feel like there's a secure value there. If you didn't have a quarterback room and you're in a full rebuild, like, nah, I just think Marv's that safe. Fine. You can't do that in the real NFL. It's just madness. It's a complete madness.
Doesn't happen to, especially with right now how not inspiring the 2025 quarterback class is. Now, we might have a couple guys emerge during the season, but right now as a whole, it's like, well, I think Shadur's kind of good. I think Carson Beck's okay. Quinn Ewers has got some question marks. Like, who else are we talking about? So it feels like for a lot of NFL teams, if you don't get them now, you're screwed. Like,
it's now or never.
Free agent, like, luck. But with that being said, question we get wrong every single year on this show: how many quarterbacks go in the first round, Adam? We ever got this right?
This time I'm going to try 4.
4. The 4 at the top, and that's it. No Penix, no Nix. A
couple teams make some calls, see if they can get in cheap at the end of the first round. No one's letting them have them cheap. That's it. Early and often, and that's all.
I've been hurt so many times. I'm going with 4, which means we're going to have 6.
We're going to have it. The NFL record is getting tied. 6. Would be great as if it was 7. Like, we saw the – you know, 6 has happened one time. That was the greatest quarterback class, almost unarguably.
Yeah.
You put 7 in the first round, that'd be just somehow like some. What if a team reached on Spencer Rattler in round 1? Just went crazy.
Joe Milton.
No. God. Although, I mean, listen, how many people thought that old man, why am I drawing a blank on his name? Brandon out of Oklahoma Whedon. State. Brandon Whedon was going to go first round. Thank you. How many people thought, like, all the, you know, it, come on, man. Give me Joe Milton. Give me Spencer Rattler reemerges, right?
Going from the 4. Ashes. All right. So we got 4 in the first round. How many of those quarterbacks that didn't go in the second round?
2.
2. You think both Bo Nix and Michael Penix go?
Yeah. I think in the second round, so top 64 picks, I think both. I'm not going to say they are early. I think they both go round 2, though.
Okay. I'm going to go with 1.
1 seems like the more reasonable answer. I think that there's still enough teams that are desperate that have draft capital in this range and can tell themselves a story where this will work, but it ain't going to work.
So you got the Patriots need a quarterback, Commanders, Bears, right? We know these guys. The teams that are on the outside looking in currently without trading up, right?
Denver, Vegas.
Denver, Minnesota, Vegas.
Yep.
Who is the team that walks away and they haven't addressed their quarterback situation?
Ooh. I actually think those
money on one of these.
I think those 3 teams though are going to do it. I think Minnesota is going to end up drafting very high, or as high as they can get. I think Minnesota's trying, they're on the phone relentlessly trying to consolidate for their pick, you know, whoever they think. Probably it's JJ, but who knows? Maybe it's not. I think that Denver and Vegas don't have as much capital to move up into the top 5. But I think that they're probably, if they're smart, I don't think that they're taking Bo Nix or Penix in the first round with their draft picks that they have because they missed out. But I could see a scenario where it's like, all right, they're hanging around round 2. Sean Payton, you know, he makes this smokescreen trade for Zach Wilson. That ain't going to cut it, man. Go get Bo. Go get Penix in round 2.
All right. Give me a dark horse team to draft a quarterback with.
Ooh.
first or second round draft capital that we do not think.
I gotta actually, you know, Mike, I'm not prepared for that. I gotta think about this. Let me just look at the, let me look at the NFL like standings and just eyeball who could possibly do this.
Give me so a the ones that would stand out to me right now would be Seattle. Maybe New Orleans.
Do you count the Giants or no?
You can count the Giants. Yep, you can count the Giants.
Okay.
How about the Rams? We'll throw them in there.
Okay.
The Steelers. We can throw them in that boat too.
Yeah, I think the Steelers.
Dallas. Dallas.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm saying dark horse.
No, I get you. I'm with you. I get you. I think, Mike, the team... The team of those teams that we're talking here, dark horses, really, like to me, it's going to come down to the Giants, and it's going to come down to where was the other team? Seattle. I think those are the two teams that like need more of a long term play, but it feels like there's a real scenario where both these teams just keep pushing that inevitable. I have to address it later. It's like kind of like credit card debt, you know. I'm not paying it now. It's just going to cost me more later, but I'm not paying it today.
I'm going to throw it on Seattle.
Seattle and the Giants are the two for me for sure.
With Michael Penix in the second round. And it's not unheard of to be seen. I mean, we've seen much more stable quarterback situations. My Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz just paid the guy. Spent a second round pick on Jalen Hurts.
That was my favorite thing. That was my favorite thing. Mike was in shambles.
It's terrible. It's terrible. But it worked out okay in the end.
Of course. People were ready to riot, though. Like, we just paid Carson Wentz. We did what?
Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, took Jordan Love in the first round.
One of my favorites still, which is so overlooked now. Now, granted, they didn't use second-round draft capital, but the Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson thing was... little bit of insanity too. Remember that? They just paid Flynn to come over and
third rounder.
Sorry.
We're Dak using Prescott Russ. To the Cowboys with Tony Romo already there.
Yep. That one kind of felt like, okay, at least it was day three. So
and Romo had back problems.
Yeah, it's a higher end backup. We're not really realistically it's not the guy that's gonna take over, but then all of a sudden he did. And he was go back and look at how good Dak and Zeke were in that rookie season together. The fact that Zeke was tremendous, but Dak was the one that won the rookie of the year, you know?
All right. We'll pivot to another position. I got a few more, and then I want to get some of yours that you got in there. We'll have some good banter on these ones. But first wide receiver off the board is, drum roll,
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Marv. None to this Malik Nabers. Wide receiver one on teams boards.
No, because I'll tell you, Mike, let's talk about smoke screens. All of a sudden, there's like, I don't know what to make as real smoke screens and which aren't, but I've seen enough of these. There's a couple character concerns out there from Malik Nabers. He's really, there's people out there that think he shouldn't be in a big city. Motherfucker, what?
What are we talking about?
There's no, like, it feels like a character assassination. But it's as lazy as it's ever been, Mike. You know, a lot of this stuff comes out. Remember the, the bong. The bong was the craziest one. For
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil.
Gas mask.
Yeah, the gas mask was insane, dude. That was awesome. But, like, the character assassinations feel like they want to have these happen. I don't understand that part. To me, it's just it's so cynical. But that one feels so lazy because there's nothing attached to it other than character concerns. Normally they give you some sort of, not concrete, but closer to concrete reason as to why. That one just is character concerns.
You remember that Cowboys tackle? He ended up playing with the Bengals here recently too. But there was the rumors that he murdered his girlfriend on draft night. He was a first rounder and then went undrafted. And... Yep. It all turned out to be just complete bullshit.
Garbage.
Jalen Carter last year with the
Jalen Carter was the prospect last year.
Crazy that stuff. It's bound to happen.
Now there was at least like something to point to there though, right? Like that's why I'm saying it's so lazy like with Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
What? Because of what? Give me some kind of a rumor here, you know?
We're just going to make some shit up. I like it. How many wide receivers go in the first round total?
This is probably the most polarizing one because I think there's such a wide range of true outcomes.
Well, yeah, Xbox's life in the Discord depends on this one.
All right, let me bury Xbox right now. What's Xbox at?
The over-under's at 5.5.
So where does he want? He says
five,
what?
Five, he's safe. Six, he's gone.
Well, he's... Sorry, Xbox. You are the winkest link. Goodbye. I had a bet. Me and Nick actually never really got this bet lined up, but we were hovering around that 6 and 5 range, which I think is where the over-under settled in at. Mike, I actually think 7 is what it's going to be.
7? Oh, man. You and Thor, I'm actually looking at Thor's latest mock draft right now. Big shout out to Thor. Love all the stuff he does, man. Thor and D-Bro killing it. But he's got 7 as well.
I feel like that's the number.
Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs.
I feel like that's the thing, right? So I feel like Buffalo, unless they make a trade on draft day to acquire someone like a Brandon Ayuk or something like that, I feel like Buffalo's locked in. That gets me to 5. I think 6 is going to happen regardless. Mike, so basically, in my estimation, I think there's going to be, with the Chiefs, the 7th pick is going to come with the Chiefs off the board at pick 32. I think they're going to take a receiver. I think given the situation they have and the fact that they have, they kind of have this this safety net with Patrick Mahomes. Like, we can get away with whatever because we have Mahomes. So to not take a wide receiver here feels silly. So I think that's where the 7th pick comes in. I think Buffalo, I think that also there's a lot of teams. I don't want to give my spoiler. I don't want to spoil my bold takes for this one. But there's a big reason why 7, I think, is going to happen besides just the Chiefs being the last team that I'll get to in a minute.
I like it. I'm going to go with 6.
Feels reasonable.
Marv, Malik, Rome, locks.
100%.
Next 3. Brian Thomas.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy.
I think he's locked in the first 2.
And Nye Mitchell.
I agree. I think those guys are going in the round 1. I think that, Mike, I think that there's a real scenario where either Ladd or Keon, those guys are right on the fence. People I don't think realize this. Of they could be 28 to 32, or they could end, like, I don't think, I feel like Ladd is about as secure as anybody gets to be a top 40 pick. I feel like there's a lot of guys that are going to be top 40 picks. I think Troy Franklin's probably going to go in the top 45, 50 as well. But I think one of Troy Franklin, one of Ladd McConkey, one of Keon, one of those guys is also going to sneak into round 1.
So we know this is a very heavy offensive draft. Very, very
humongous.
Heavy.
It's probably as heavy as it's been in a long time in the offense.
Tackles, quarterbacks, wide receivers. This is where we're at so far.
And it happens to be an NFL where the receiver, the tackles and quarterbacks have always been super valuable. It happens to be the one where receivers now are wildly valuable in the NFL.
2-part question here for you. Little IDP love here for our IDP 101 league. What pick does the first defender come off the board, and what position is that defender?
Gosh. That is, you know, the position part's actually really tough. Like, this draft is so bad at defense. Like, it's hard for me to even... to me, it feels like it's going to be Murphy, which is insane because it's a defensive tackle. Like, that's not a position that normally gets drafted that highly, right?
Not recently, right? Not, the most recent one we had was Quinnen Williams, the Jets. Yes. We used to have that stretch where those defensive tackles, do you remember that we had like the golden years of defensive tackles with top picks, you know, the Fletcher Coxes.
I guess I'm thinking more of today's NFL, because you're right.
Today's, yep.
Like, same thing with running back. It's like, all right, well, these really good running backs could go top 15. Well, that feels more yesteryear. I'm with you, though. There was some years where it's like
Gerald McCoy was the other guy I was thinking of.
Gerald McCoy was a dog.
Like, you had these just monsters at defensive tackle going in the top part of the draft.
I mean, there's, you know, I don't know. I mean, you could say Jared Verse, but like, I don't know. I feel like Murphy feels like the one I would bet on right now, personally. What do you think?
What pick? You can give me a range, too. Top 10, top 15.
Top 10. I'm gonna go ahead and say Atlanta does something on the defensive side of the ball.
Pick 8. Pick 8. I like that
one.
Yep. I also will go with pick 8 to Atlanta.
Okay.
But I think it's a corner.
Mm. You taking out of Toledo? Mitchell?
I think it's Quinyon.
Let's go Mac. Mac, stand up, baby.
Let's go Mac. Would that be the highest drafted Mac player of all time?
Where was Big Ben taken?
He was a later
late
part,
first,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, probably first. Probably.
Like in the teens, maybe.
You know what? No, Corey Davis.
Pick 5 to Tennessee.
Corey Davis.
Western Michigan.
So that would not quite get that done. No. That's crazy, actually, looking back. Corey Davis. Ugh. Mac, now, don't stand up. Mac, sit down.
Is Quinyon Mitchell the highest drafted cornerback ever from the Mac?
Yes. If it isn't, just kill me now. That's insane.
I'd have a tough time naming another one, for sure. I like the Corey Davis pull. All right. Not fantasy related, for the most part. It actually does affect fantasy quite a bit. We just don't notice it because there's not a way to quantify it. But how many offensive tackles go in the first round?
I got to say 3 or 4 is where my brain's kind of going. I think Fashanau, Latham's going for sure, right?
You also have Joe Alt.
Mims and Alt. There's my 4. Mims. I got 4. Give me 4.
There's your 4. I'm going to go with... I'm pretty sure this is going to be a record. We'll go with 8.
Because of the later guys. Like, see, I don't know if Guyton, what's the other kid, Morgan? I don't know if those guys actually go first round.
Fatuano, guard/tackle. But they're probably going to announce him as a tackle to start with.
All right. If he's... I got to go 5 if we're counting him as a tackle then.
Fuaga, Oregon State, Behemoth.
See, I guess I... All right, go ahead. Tell me who all you got. You tell me who all you got, because I don't know that I count all these guys as just tackles, I guess, is part of my problem.
Okay. Joel, definitely a tackle.
100%.
Latham, definitely a tackle. Fatuano, definitely a tackle. There's 3. I'll come back to him. Fuaga, he's a tackle. So that's a 5?
Yeah, if we're counting these guys, I'm at 5 now.
Jordan Morgan.
See, I don't think I think Jordan Morgan's on the fence. He's not one I'm counting. I think he's not going to make it.
Mims.
I'm in on. Okay. So maybe my answer should be 6. 6,
and then Tyler Guyton.
I think Guyton and Morgan actually don't make the first round.
Okay.
So that's where we would differ then. So I'm at 6 and you're at 8.
8.
All right, that makes sense.
Which means we'll split the difference. It'll be 7.
That would be us being right though, Mike. I feel like there's a chance that we're just way off or some shit.
And I didn't mention Fatuano because he might be a guard.
Yeah, Fatuano, I was a guy that I am curious if he's a tackler or guard. He's part of my reason I have 4. Like, what's his name from Penn State is definitely a tackle.
Fashanau.
Thank you. Yeah.
Joel, definitely a tackle.
Definitely a tackle.
Amarius Mims.
Latham's a tackle and Mims is a tackle. That's why I said 4. Those guys for sure are tackles. You could make the case for Fatuano and Mims is a tackle too. I should have said 5.
Yep. I think I hit that. Okay, Brock Bowers. Top 10 pick, yes or no?
Ooh. This one's so interesting, Mike. I think it's going to end up being yes. He definitely feels like a guy that could fall because it's just not – it feels like such a luxury pick taking a tight end that high. But he feels like the quintessential luxury tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to go for luxury, like, I want to stay at this hotel. This is the 5-star, you know? So,
the suite de la Brock.
Thank you. There you go. Like, this is the corner suite, man. Yeah, I think he's going to end up going top 10. Mike, I kind of feel like that Jets and I'll tell you why. I feel like the Jets are a team that won't pass on him. Not saying that that's right or wrong. I just feel like with what they have built, with Rodgers coming back, it's like, all right, we get Rodgers, this kid. We got Garrett Wilson, who Rodgers was throwing the ball to a ton before he got hurt in all that camp and stuff. Like they seem to have a good chemistry. Rodgers doesn't seem to like a lot of the young guys, but Brock Bowers seems a little more polished than most young players he's playing with. So I don't think he falls past 10, but I feel like you're going to say that he goes past 10.
I think he falls past 10.
I kind of had that one nailed.
He's a teens pick.
Where does the free fall stop?
I'm going to say Denver because they missed out 12? On the quarterback.
Okay.
They were able to trade up.
So we're talking, we're really splitting hairs here, 10 and 12, but I like it. I like it.
Hey,
I like
it. It's a top 10 label. You know, like if he goes in the top 10, you're going to hear that in all your fantasy analysis from here to eternity until the last season.
He's not just a first rounder, Mike. He's a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Here's a list of all top 10 tight ends ever taken since 2002.
Do you know how few and far between it has to be a top 10 pick?
Exactly. So I'll say it outside. So
all right. They won't Mike doesn't want to hear the Brock Bowers stuff. I love this. Mike is so predictable. There's an agenda behind his reasoning for this, you know?
Two more for you.
All right.
Philadelphia Eagles draft Cooper DeJean. True or false? Or as I like to call him, Cooper DeJean.
I'll just say this. It feels so true. I'm like, I think they're taking a corner. So is him or Wiggins?
Or Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid maybe. I feel like to me I feel like it's going to be Wiggins or Cooper, which I just want to make people understand. We're talking about they're in the 20s, right? They're like 22, 21.
Yep. Pick 22 on the dot.
To try to pinpoint a singular player that far down the list is insanity to make everyone understand what we're doing here. All right?
We're calling it.
But if I was going to put my bet on one person, it would actually be Cooper DeJean. Because there's three corners they could take there, the odds say not to do this, but that's not fun. Fuck that.
That's not fun.
I'll take Cooper DeJean, 22.
One more Iowa question for you.
Hold on. Are you saying yes too?
Oh, I'm saying yes, 1,000%. Right. I think Howie's out there just telling people he watched the trade up, just quietly sitting back and going like, Cooper DeJean is a perfect fit for this defense.
He's going to fall to us. I know everything. I see
Elite
all.
Elite athlete. Yeah, he's going to make my day. He already did by signing Saquon Barkley. So Howie's just speaking to my soul, so he's going to match it up. So
he's like, Mike, I got you taken care of. We're going to go get DeAndre Swift last year, but hold on. Let me double that. Let me get Saquon this year, you know.
Let's go. How about this one for you, Adam? Tory Taylor, over, under, or push, round 4 NFL draft capital.
All right, let me just – I got the math over means he's in the 5th round or under means he's in the 5th? Over's in the 5th?
We'll make it clear. Over would be more than 4.
I'm going to take over. I'm going to take over.
You can take the over.
You taking under?
I'm going under. I'm saying he's a late third compensatory pick at punter.
Nah, I can't hitch my wagon to tomfoolery. Even if it happens, I can't do it.
I gotta look this up now. Who's the highest punter ever taken?
Probably round 2 or 3. I mean,
so
round 2 is probably ridiculous.
2022, we had two guys in the 4th round. Another guy in the 4th round in 19. I swear, yes, there it is. There's my guy. 2012, Adam, in the 3rd round. Pick 7 in the 3rd round. Brian Anger.
But wait. 2012. There's more. Ray Guy was drafted in 1973 in the 1st round. 23rd overall.
Well, Tory Taylor's not hitting that.
So
sorry, Tory.
Sorry, guys. Now, I don't know if this is before the merger? No, I think it's technically after the merger, actually.
Technically. Yeah.
But it's close enough to where I feel like I could say they're different styles of NFL. That's crazy. That's crazy.
In recent history, you've had a handful. Another guy in the 3rd round, B.J. Sander, went to the Packers.
Round 3, Mike, I feel like is reaching on a punter. Probably. Reaching on a punter.
Let me live my dream, man.
You can live it. You can live it. I'm just, I want to live outside of this. Like, X is a crazy enough place, all right? I feel like it's a fictitious place. It's not real. I don't want to have my real world be living in a place where people are taking punters in round three, but if there was a punter to do it for, this is the year, I guess.
I could make you a promise. If Torrey Taylor gets drafted in round three to any team, I will immediately buy a Torrey Taylor jersey of that team and wear it proudly.
Now this has gotten even worse. Now we've got punter jerseys.
Punter jerseys.
Mike's going to have no kickers, no defenses, but punters Mike wants in Dynasty.
I want them. Punters matter.
Stop it. How do we pivot away from this point of the conversation? Where do we go next?
All right. Yours. What are your predictions here? What are some bold ones? Some questions you have, and then we'll head out of here with this tomfoolery.
I love this. All right. Edition. So, Mike, I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to draft Brian Thomas Jr. at the spot they're at, and T. Higgins will end up being traded.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you then. I like that. That's spicy. I like it. Where does T. Higgins end up getting traded to?
That is such a much tougher question to answer because I don't really know who's calling when answering with what. I would love to see Mike, for T. Higgins' sake and just for Dynasty's sake in general, Buffalo, instead of having to, you know, use their, what is it, 29th, 28th pick?
28th pick, yep.
They trade for T. Higgins. I just don't know if they're willing to and if they can really make that work with their books. I mean, right now, with Stephon Diggs, like, cap hit that they're taking plus Allen's contract, I don't know that they can afford to actually trade for a wide receiver. And given what they did with Diggs, I don't know that they want to. Like, I would love to see that. But I'll tell you who – there's a couple teams, Mike, that are not paying – receivers. I'll tell you one that would be really interesting to me would be the Chargers. If they don't, yeah. Like, let's say they take Alt, right? Like, the Chargers then don't have their high-end receiver, then they I feel like are a team that could end up making the trade for a guy like Higgins.
I mean, once upon a time, the Bills did trade a late first when they needed a wide receiver.
For Stephon Diggs, and it was Justin Jefferson. R.I.P.
I'm not a salary cap expert, but it doesn't look like they have very much. T. Higgins is playing on the franchise tag, which means that they would have to eat all of that
right
up front, you know.
Unless the Bengals are willing to eat some of it to get the deal done.
Possibly. I don't know how they'd work out the financials, but that would be spicy. How about I throw you a dark horse team to trade for T. Higgins?
All right.
The Jaguars.
They're in the mix for sure.
Which is crazy because they literally pick right before the Bengals do. So
I'll tell you one other
17 would be involved specifically, but
I'll tell you another interesting one too, and that's not going to be one that people love. But let's say Mike Arizona at 4, they can't sit there and draft somebody. They're getting all these calls, and they either got to go back to 11 to the Vikings, or they end up having to go back further than they want to. Maybe Arizona takes T. Higgins in a trade and doesn't have to actually draft, you know, their high-end wide receiver too.
Arizona, make that happen. Send your 27th pick for T. Higgins. Take the trade back with the Vikings or the Broncos or the Raiders, whoever's making them calls. Stock up on assets, get some other stuff. T. Higgins instead of Marv. I know some people will be disappointed, but I'd still be extremely excited for Kyler Murray. And I would be excited too. For T. Higgins.
100%.
T. Higgins as an alpha role?
I think nailing down the T. Higgins part is so much harder, obviously. Right. There's probably a lot of teams that could go after him. For me, Mike, Brian Thomas he goes there, which I think is going to get into my next prediction, but I want to hear yours first.
I'd like that one. Do you think Brandon Ayuk gets traded? Do we have another wide receiver traded on draft day?
I think Lynch at times can be bullied into. I think he's going to end up paying him. I don't think they actually want to walk. I don't think they actually want to walk from him. And I think that Ayuk and his agent are doing the right thing by going down this path, because he deserves to be paid. And I bet you they're lowballing him right now.
This is where I need a soundboard. You got to hit that that Rounders. Pay that man
his money. That man his money. Yeah, I'm with you. All right. So there's my T. Higgins. And that was more about Brian Thomas. I think the Bengals, because of their financial situation and the way that their owner is not strapped for cash. He is strapped for cash. He's not rich as hell. That they're going to move on from T. And I think they do that by taking Brian Thomas.
How can you be strapped for cash running an NFL team?
Because basically all those dudes have oil money and he don't. This is how he gets his money, is by owning a team. Most people have so much money that they can go buy a team. It's the other way around. It's ass backwards, you know?
They like print money there if you own an NFL team. Like, you're fine.
The problem is, Mike, that relative to America, you are fine. But when you're paying hundreds of millions of dollars out of a checkbook and signing bonuses, it's like, okay, maybe I'm not quite Jerry, you know?
I would say this. I had a question for you, just for us common folk here.
Okay. You act like I'm not a part of common folk, but okay.
Well, for us common folk. I'm saying you're included.
I'm playing, I know.
You got the choice of being an oil tycoon or owning an NFL team. Which one are you going with?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No, I'll take that oil money because I'm so interested in the NFL. All that money will give me a way. I'll find my way into buying a team. Like, as opposed to just giving me the team, let me get the oil cash, and I know I'm going to use that money to go buy me a team or get me inside of a ownership stake of some sort.
Mike, you and I know you never wanted.
That's okay. Mike, I own a team. We're talking about us common folk, Mike. The only team I own right now is on my sleeper leagues. All right, I get to own a team. Period. I'm happy.
Got it.
So I mean, right. it seems crazy because you just say yeah, take the team, but nah. The way it works, I need the money, and then I can go get any team not any team you want, but you can get a much better shot of getting a team, I think, that way.
Hey, like Kendrick said, man. Money, power, respect. The last one's better, though.
Boom. All right, Mike, what's your first prediction of the crazy? Like, what's your first out-of-the-box prediction here? Come on. Hit us with it.
First out-of-the-box prediction. Miami Dolphins.
It don't even have to be out-of-the-box, but just what's your first prediction?
Miami Dolphins make the world burn, literally and figuratively, and draft Xavier Worthy with their first-round pick.
Wow. That is that is McNutted type take. It feels insane, which is why I like that you did it.
Let's go nuts, Mike McDaniel. Let's make the world burn. Defend this. Achan, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Xavier Worthy. And no slouch in his own right. Jonnu Smith, pretty athletic at tight end. So
I like that. I do. I actually really do like that. I don't think it's going to happen. I really do like it. But you imagine if Tua had that if they did that, you got Mostert, Achane out of the backfield, Waddle, Hill, and Worthy. I will say, if you were drafting Worthy pre-NFL landing drafts, like, you got to hate that. You got to absolutely hate it. But for just the NFL craziness, I like where your head's at.
Hey, for us, they're in a best ball league, so we'll be fine, right? You don't need to be consistent. I'll just take that 3 for 150 and 3 touchdown week you're bound to have.
Mike, so my next one is going to be interesting because I actually think they're going to do this in round one. But I think that this player is polarizing enough that if I'm wrong about my first round wide receivers of 7, he could end up being in the round 2 where they maybe trade up for him. And Mike, I go back to a line that Tomlin said on a podcast, which is like, a lot of coaches, they run from coaching. They're afraid of coaching. I run to coaching. And no player in this class, for me personally, feels more like Tomlin living by that than going to get Adonai Mitchell. And a guy like Adonai Mitchell, I think, is, if you think about his downsides, it's like, okay, he takes plays off. He kind of has this... He wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, he's, like, not happy. He's out, he's off this game or whatever, right? And he's admitted to taking plays off. Nobody feels more apt as a room that drafts good receivers and makes talented receivers thrive, at least for a small amount of time before trading them. And like I'll say that the reason I think it could happen in the first round is if you think about what they've done in the past with the wide receiver position. The wide receiver position is valued, I think, in the NFL differently than it's been in years past. And the whole idea is basically getting a cheap receiver, and they don't want to pay him in the long run. Like, so they paid Deontay Johnson, but then they moved him just now, right? Mm-hmm. They eventually don't want to pay the receiver. But to me, I think the new cheat code is draft a first round one later on, pay him not as much money, and then give him that fifth-year option, and then you don't ever have to give him a bag. That's 5 years out of a possibly very, very talented wide receiver. And right now, look what they're doing with the quarterback position. Like, they've also never been in this position where they're patchworking together the QB. They don't have to pay Big Ben big money, and they feel better about the combination of Russ, the old head, and Justin Fields, the young guy on the wings. So I think adding in the first round to Pittsburgh is the pick. I think there's a chance that they could end up making it a second-round pick if Adonai falls. But I feel like the narrative around what's going on with him feels very Tomlin-esque.
Ooh, yeah, I get that. Why not just draft, George Pickens 2.0 to the team that already has George Pickens?
Exactly. Give me another one. Another one.
GP meet AM? There we go.
And I'll tell you one thing, Mike. You could say that Russ is dead, and I understand it, but I feel like a guy that throws those type of moon balls and contested catch stuff to Adonai, to Pickens, it seems to fit. Yeah, might be all right.
Might be all right. How about this one for a bold prediction? No running back goes in the second or third round.
Wow. No running back in the second or third?
Or third round.
You don't think a running back goes off the board till pick what then? Is that like 90-something?
Early part of the fourth. Yep. The NFL said, we told you what we were doing in the offseason with all these free agent running backs moving all over the place. We good. We'll take some depth, guys. We'll take some of these, but the NFL thinks this running back class is even worse than we do. How about that?
There's pick 101, by the way, Mike. Pick 101.
Ain't that fitting? Ain't that a fitting number?
Goodness. Pick 101. That's wild. 100 picks and no running backs. Okay. I mean, that's spicy. It's not that crazy when you start to think about it, but it does feel like for teams that want to go get what their guy is, it feels like a long way to let him slide. But I'm with you. It's not insane, actually. It's not insane. I do think we'll probably have a couple in day two, but you talk about mayhem. If they do that, Mike,
we'll put
a fork in the entire position, not just in Dynasty, but in like, y'all want to come get a bag? You better find a way to place, flanker. You better find a way to play somewhere else, because it ain't at running back.
It ain't this position. It ain't this position.
That would suck. That would suck, man. That would really suck. Now you're making me sad. Damn. I'm sad for the running back position. The old days of Tomlinson and Priest Holmes and all these like goons at running back, and now it's like
they dead.
All of them gone.
It's over. Vince Carter. It's over.
That hurts my soul. That hurts my soul. All right, Mike, you ready for this?
Yep.
Your Philadelphia Eagles end up trading back the late part of the first round to get Cooper DeJean, but they're going to land. I don't know what it is. It's too hard to predict what it is, but they're going to get a player, much like, not necessarily quite AJ Brown, but they're going to get a player in a trade on draft day where they're trading back that just makes no sense. Like, they're going to land someone that's they're going to basically get a freebie, right? It's going to be one of those moments where he can't keep getting away with this. You know, he just, every year he does this on draft day where you're like, wait a minute. You're reading the deal. It's kind of like in Sleeper. You're reading the deal and you're like, there's no way. How did he do this? How did he pull it off? He's Houdini.
Something like to the effect of, We'd have to look at like the picks, but I'll give you an example. I don't know if this would work out the same way, but they end up like somehow swindling Pat Surtain away from the Broncos. So the
that's
Broncos
exactly what I'm
move
talking
up
about.
Into the late first to take a quarterback.
You that's know, exactly what I'm
the
talking
Eagles
about.
The Eagles only swap like maybe a round of picks, but they get
they Pat get Surtain. That's 100%. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, no, what? This doesn't add up at all. This is a terrible deal for Denver. Why did they do this? Why? I think it's going to be, Mike, I think it's going to be one of those where we all are looking like he's got to be some kind of, there's got to be something going on there that there's more that meets the eye. Because how does he keep getting away with this?
Well, I don't know. We could go back to the well. He's done a good job of fleecing New Orleans and Tennessee.
The Traylon one is just horrendous.
Any players off their teams, you could be like, how the hell did he get this guy?
Imagine trading Treylon Burks straight up for A.J. Brown.
Hey, good on Tennessee. Thank you.
Well, here we go anyway. But
that
air hump will live in infamy, by the way. That is documented. But no, I do really think, though, that Philly's going to pull some kind of craziness on draft day again. I think it'll be round one, but definitely in the first two rounds. They're going to pull some kind of absolute magic trick again.
Did you have any others? I ran out, man.
That blew
my load.
That was my final one. I got Brian Thomas, definitely. I got AFC North. I'll tell you the one last thing, Mike, is that the Browns, yet again, will not be drafting in round one. You want to talk about the biggest orphan deal you've ever seen? Imagine, Mike, when you traded all your future for, like, the quarterback you know that isn't working. That's what the Browns Daniel feel like Jones. They did. Yeah. You traded 2 or 3 years of futures for Daniel Jones in Dynasty. Exactly. Like you thought it you thought it worked out for a moment, but you just fucked up. And then every year it's sitting there worse. And now you don't have a first round pick and you're like, "Okay, how do we get Watson?" And we gave him all of it guaranteed. Well, RIP.
I did see somebody talking about, like, do you think this is Deshaun Watson's last year? And I'm like, absolutely not. Go look at the contract. It's like $128 million in dead money. Like, that contract just started last year. Remember, he took nothing the first year. So they couldn't find him.
You know what I think is an underrated part of the Watson trade and signing, I guess, too, that the Browns did? That I feel like we talk about with the quarterback position, but somehow Watson, it wasn't a consideration. All those years where Watson looked great, don't get me wrong, he did look great in Houston. He was making what, Mike? Chump change. We've seen this jump where you go from making nothing to making an absurd amount of money, and now is the team around you good enough? Do you actually look anywhere near the same level of competence and talent? Mike, not to mention all the time he'd missed off the field and what could be going on upstairs. They decided to give him every penny that cost them dearly in the salary cap. And I feel like that is one of the most underappreciated parts of it is like, okay, not only are you going to make this guy go from not making much to making a ton of money, but you're giving yourself no room for it. There is no room for ear. Secret Service. None. Consequences.
Just to reference it, they would have a dead cap of $200 million if they decided to cut him this year.
Well, guess what, Mike? Every year, whatever's on it, so you don't have to go to SpoTrack. Whatever's left of the contract, that's what the cap hit's going to be. It's all 100% owed.
Next year in 2025, the dead cap is $135 million. Sorry, $137 million. Don't let me shortchange you that too bit, lad.
Yeah, no, don't.
Hey, don't worry, though. In 2026, the cap hit is only $73 million.
I hope that, you know, speaking of oil money, Mike, we got an oil guy. He's been stealing from his customers for a while. And Mike, maybe he just has to, you know, switch it around, make it a signing bonus and just here, pay it out of pocket. You know, that's the only way that we get out of this contract alive.
Absolutely nuts. Well, there it is. A tradition like none other, which we're bound to look like idiots.
Oh, 100%.
100%. We might hit him, though. Hey, round one.
Can we hit one? Can we hit one of them?
Please. I think our best bet is quarterbacks, right? Four. four.
I think so. Or Brian Thomas. I think Brian Thomas, it's not the best chance, but I think it's reasonable enough. Now
I'm gonna go with most likely quarterbacks, Brian Thomas and Cooper DeGene at 22 to the Eagles. Make it happen.
I do like think, Mike, nothing personal, but I think that Xavier Worthy going to Miami is the least likely. But
come on.
Can we get that one? Can we get that one? That would be what would be great is if we were wrong on everything but Xavier Worthy going to Miami. Let the world burn.
Let it burn. Let it burn.
Well, just remember, when your league mates are playing chess and drafting Xavier Worthy to an already fast team, play 40 chess.
I love it. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week. Post NFL draft reactions and, of course, rookie mocks. Rookie mocks. What to do with your rookie picks. Adam, it's draft week. It's draft week. I got to go watch
draft week, baby. Come on.
I got to go watch draft day. I'm out of here. We love y'all. Peace.